UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this episode, I have decided to talk about perimenopause and menopause. Every woman who is at that stage of the end of the reproductive cycle or reproductive period of life that one would know, learn about, think about, sometimes worry about perimenopause and menopause. And we do know about the hormonal changes. Most women do understand a change in the reproductive hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and also testosterone, and how it impacts on various functions of the body and the experience of perimenopause and menopause, and also how it changes many aspects in one's functions, as it can also contribute to aging. What is important is, one, it is to know about the hormonal changes, but equally important is to know about yourself. And therefore, I would like to integrate the current modern scientific understanding of perimenopause and menopause with that of the wisdom tradition of Ayurveda, which is an ancient system of healing originating from India. We cannot underestimate the amount of understanding that these ancient scientists, I would call them, or explorers, or ancient physicians had about the depth with which they knew the changes that a woman's body and the functions would go through during perimenopause and menopause. Obviously, the language is very different. There was no such concept or understanding of hormones as estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But there were other aspects such as Agni, the fire, or Rasa, which is the juice or the sap of life, and Ojas, which is the brightness and the immunity at the essence of all the tissue functions. So they had a different language to describe the experience of perimenopause and menopause and to correct it. I hope in this episode I'll be able to explain to you how we can integrate our modern understanding of menopause with that of Ayurveda so that a transition through menopause becomes smooth and can actually offer an opportunity to discover better health and improved well-being. Obviously, we'll be looking at food, lifestyle, and most importantly, mental health, as all of these factors do play a very important role during perimenopause and menopause. So again, I'd like to stress that to achieve a smooth transition through menopause is to know oneself. To learn about yourself is the key. The process of identifying imbalance and restoring balance is central to the practice of Ayurveda. Because Ayurveda focuses on how to identify when there is a shift in one's homeostasis or balance or equilibrium, and then by recognizing any such shift and to bring back that equilibrium through food, through herbs, through spices, through lifestyle, and to use breathing and mind-body techniques, certain mental practices, Ayurveda offers a much broader and a more holistic and a very natural method to get through what possibly can be a difficult phase during a woman's life, that is menopause. And obviously, you know, we need to kind of understand the difference between perimenopause and menopause, as the word peri means around, when menopause is around the corner. Obviously, a woman can reach menopause at very different ages. Everybody is different. It is based on family history, genetic factors, stress, life circumstances, other health conditions, comorbidities. You know, sometimes menopause is induced surgically, should a woman have to undergo hysterectomy along with the removal of ovaries. And in most situations, it would be more a naturally attaining menopause. Generally, in my practice, I see most of the women that I see would reach menopause around the age of 50. You know, it can be as early as 46. It could be as late as 52 or even 54 in my clinic. But, you know, there is no absolute rule that this is the correct age for menopause. You know, some might even reach very early menopause in their early 40s. And now we have the tests such as measuring estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, I mean estradiol, and if we run a menopause profile, we will be able to determine what the status of this woman's hormones are, whether they indicate any signs of probably reaching menopause or not. But most importantly, menopause is when a woman has not had a menstrual cycle or menstruation for about a year. After that, it would be technically termed menopause. It's a point, you know, at which a woman stops ovulating and as such menstruation ceases. Let's not also kind of say that menstruation happens even when there is no ovulation during reproductive years, but generally ovulation and menstruation, you know, they are linked. So when ovulation stops and menstruation ceases, this indicates the end of fertility. So it's important to remember that menopause is not a disease. It is a natural phenomena, and it's a progression in life, much like how puberty happens, menopause also happens. There can be many symptoms, you know, which one might start to notice during menopause, such as mood changes, anxiety, changes in sexual desire. Usually it is a reduced interest in sex, low libido, difficulty in concentration. So it can also influence or affect cognitive or mental functions. There can be headaches, night sweats, which is very common, and sleep disturbances, which again is very common. One might have difficulty falling asleep. Even if they fall asleep, they might actually wake up in the early mornings, again having difficulty going back to sleep. There can be joint and muscle aches. Fatigue can be a very common symptom that a woman might experience during menopause. In fact, many years before a woman stops ovulating, the ovaries, they slow the production of hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Estrogen and progesterone are commonly thought of as sex or reproductive hormones, although their function goes beyond reproduction. Well, estrogen, in fact, is essential for reproduction. It also acts on many non-reproductive organs, such as cells in the vagina, bladder, breast, skin, bones, arteries, heart, liver, and brain. They all contain estrogen receptors, and they require this hormone to stimulate these receptors for normal cell function. That's why when there is a decline in estrogen, many of the functions related to these organ systems or tissues are also affected. Estrogen is needed to keep the skin smooth and moist, and body's internal thermostat operating properly. That's why, like, when estrogen levels, they drop, or when even the progesterone levels drop during perimenopause and menopause, that there are night sweats, because the body's thermostat control system will have been affected due to hormonal changes. It's also necessary for estrogen is also necessary for proper bone formation. This is the reason why many women are advised by their gynecologists to consider hormone replacement therapy. Now, there's bioidentical hormones that are used for HRT, or the conventional HRT involves even synthetic hormones that are used, and we may have come across several debates about whether HRT is necessary or not, what are the adverse effects. In fact, there has been a large study which showed that, you know, if HRT is not administered or is not introduced to the right kind of a situation, in the right situation, to the right kind of person, then that they can be the same adverse effects for which HRT originally was thought to be as necessary to prevent cardiovascular diseases. In fact, when We look at meta-analysis or systematic reviews, which are analyzing large clinical trials. We find that what originally was thought of as HRT reducing cardiovascular diseases, particularly death due to cardiovascular conditions in women postmenopausally, contributed towards heart attacks. And that's when gynecologists and the scientific community became very, very vigilant about how to exactly use HRT, in whom, what doses. Hence why it's not given for longer than 2 years usually, or not longer than 5 years. Although estrogen levels, they drop sharply after menopause, the hormone does not disappear entirely. And there are other organs which take over from the ovaries to continue to produce a less potent form of estrogen. And the organs known as endocrine glands secrete some hormones from fatty tissue to maintain bodily functions. So here is the importance of fat tissue. Fatty tissue produces some amount of estrogen postmenopausally. Progesterone, it works as a counterpart to estrogen. And during the second half of menstrual cycle, like if you are considering, let's say, 28-day cycle, then that the second half of the menstrual cycle, let's say from 14 to 28, that's when progesterone starts to play a very important role. It stimulates changes in the lining of the uterus to complete the preparation to act as a home for the fertilized egg, should there be fertilization. But if no egg is fertilized, then the uterine lining, which is called the endometrium, is broken down and is expelled. That's why, you know, they often say that menstruation is an expression of a disappointed uterus, which sheds the endometrium because of the absence of fertilization. So once this happens, the cycle begins again, and this is during the reproductive period. But during perimenopause, what happens is that the length of the cycle may vary. Usually what happens is the length of the cycle shortens. From 28 days, it might become 26 days, 21 days. And that's an indication that there is onset of perimenopause, or the person or the woman is going towards menopause. Progesterone also, it has got effects beyond reproductive system, much like estrogen. And progesterone has a calming effect on the brain, and it appears to affect other aspects of the nervous system, on nervous system functions. And this is why when the progesterone levels are low during perimenopause and menopause, they can be overwhelming feelings of anxiety, restlessness. And this is something that's so common. And interestingly, during COVID and post-COVID, the number of cases that I see at my clinic, and the number of cases that many of my colleagues, gynecologists, they're seeing in their practice, where perimenopausal and menopausal women are experiencing high amounts of anxiety, restlessness has just become increased. And research does show that COVID may have had an impact or a role to play in this increased anxiety amongst perimenopausal and menopausal women. We must not forget that it's not just estrogen and progesterone which are considered the most important female reproductive hormones, that testosterone also plays a very important role. Although testosterone is generally considered a male hormone, it is definitely present in women. It is important for sex drive. and women produce much less of this hormone than men do, about 80% less. But it is the driving force for maintaining a healthy libido. So because during perimenopause and menopause, testosterone levels drop, a woman will start to lose interest in sex, or there will be reduced libido, which is a very common sign or a symptom that a woman would experience or report. But perimenopause is the period when a woman's body is preparing for menopause. So for most women, hormone production begins to slow down when they reach their 30s and continues to diminish as they age. That's why if a woman is trying to conceive after the age of 36, usually it's considered high risk because already these reproductive hormones, they start to diminish, and ovulation may not be very effective. But that not to say that a woman who is 40, 41, or even 42 cannot conceive. In fact, in my clinic, there are many women who have come to me who have had very healthy pregnancies at the age of 40 and 41 and gave birth to really healthy babies. So everybody is different. And many women, they experience certain symptoms during perimenopause, but others may not have any symptoms. But usually the symptoms are during perimenopause, anxiety, dry skin, fatigue, you know, feeling of bloating. And often these may also be signs of underactive thyroid. Hence, it's very important for a woman to see a qualified, experienced health professional to determine whether these are because of hypothyroidism, which can also be very common, or is this related to perimenopause. So it's important also to do thyroid function tests to see as there are so many overlapping symptoms. And during perimenopause, there can be feeling of bloating, headaches, particularly migraines can become more frequent or intense. There can be heart palpitations, even hot flashes, much like menopause, and insomnia, irritability, decreased interest in sex, loss of concentration, mood swings, night sweats, reduced stamina, and there can be signs of urinary tract symptoms like urinary incontinence or vaginal dryness or vaginal itching. There can be weight gain and also cold hands and feet. There can be joint pain, hair loss, and skin changes. As I said, many of these symptoms also coincide with thyroid irregularities. And therefore, it's important not only to look for reproductive hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, but also to understand how the thyroid functions are, to see if it's thyroid dysfunction, then by supporting the thyroid, these symptoms will automatically be addressed or relieved. So what is that Ayurveda can contribute towards this understanding? Well, what Ayurveda can contribute is, particularly for you as a woman, to understand what constitutional type you are. Because the moment you know your constitutional type, you then can correlate your constitutional type with the symptoms that you might experience during perimenopause and menopause. So in Ayurveda, there are three main constitutional types. But these three, they can be present in you by themselves, or it can occur as combination. So in total, There are three basic ones, which are called vata, pitta, kapha. But there can be combination of vata, pitta, vata, kapha, or pitta, kapha. And some might actually have a constitution which is a combination of vata, pitta, and kapha. I have spoken about how to understand your Ayurvedic constitution in other episodes, in the previous episodes. So do go back to previous episodes and you can play those episodes on demand to have a greater understanding of your constitution, whether it's vata, pitta, or kapha. Importantly here, when we are considering perimenopause or the entire reproductive period or reproductive age in a woman, it would be helpful to know if a woman has a more of a vata type menstruation or menstrual cycle or pitta kapha. So what are the features of a vata type menstrual cycle? So if you are having a vata constitution, then you might be experiencing or you might have experienced irregular menstrual cycle. For instance, the length may vary. Or let's say someone's length of the cycle was always perfect, like 28 days, and all of a sudden it keeps fluctuating. That means there is this onset of vata imbalance. It could be a constitution or it can be an imbalance. So vata, irregular menstrual cycle. Usually in a vata constitution, menstrual flow is between 2 to 4 days, you know, which tends to be slightly shorter than the ones found in pitta and kapha. I'll come to pitta and kapha so you can actually compare notes with vata, pitta and kapha. So a vata constitution woman may experience sharp pain during menstruation, or menstrual cramps are very common. And also in a vata constitution, fatigue or back pain can be very common. Insomnia can be a very distinct feature in or a symptom in a woman with vata constitution, and headaches. Obviously, these tend to be part of the vata constitution, but when this woman goes into perimenopause or towards menopause, then these signs, they become exaggerated. So let's look at if you are a women with a pitta constitution, with a pitta type menstrual cycle. In a pitta constitution women, menstrual cycles are very regular, unlike vata, and usually the flow is between 3 and 5 days, which is medium. Unlike kapha, where the flow can be up to 7 days or longer duration of flow. And in a pitta constitution, women, menstrual flow tends to be heavy, unlike vata, where it tends to be lighter. And also in a kapha constitution, women, menstrual flow tends to be heavy. In a pitta constitution, the menstrual blood tends to be dark red in color. She may pass clots. There may be urinary tract infections from time to time, and psycho-emotionally, a pitta constitution person might experience more anger, whereas a vata constitution person might experience more irritability premenstrually and menstrually. And also in a pitta constitution women, there can be eruption of skin conditions. All of a sudden, you know, during menstruation or around that time. So this way you can understand yourself, whether you are having more of a Vata-type menstruation or Pitta-type menstruation. Now let's go to the Kapha-type menstruation. In Kapha-type menstruation, menstruation tends to be regular, much like Pitta. And the flow tends to be longer, can be from 5 to 7 days. And in a Kapha person, usually there may not be clots. The flow would be quite free-flowing rather than clots like in a Pitta woman. Whereas in a Kapha person, there can be this lethargy, sluggishness, a feeling of heaviness. And also in a Kapha woman or a woman with a Kapha type menstruation, she may have tendency to develop fibroids or endometriosis, and there can be edema or fluid retention. So by learning about your menstruation, its characteristics, you can see whether you fall within a Vata type or a Pitta type or a Kapha type. And what Ayurveda says is, the moment you know that you are a Vata type, Pitta type or Kapha type, either because of your constitution or because that's how your menstrual pattern has been, then you can, through food, through activities, through your psycho-emotional attitude and practices, you can balance Vata, Pitta, Kapha to minimize the side effects or adverse effects or the severity of symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. Okay, then let's say you have identified that you probably are fitting into the category of a Vata type menstruation. Vata is a Sanskrit term which indicates air, but Vata type constitution is a combination of air and ether or space. In ancient Ayurveda, they used classic elements to understand bodily functions, to not understand but to describe the bodily functions and even functions of the mind. So Vata is mostly elements of air and space, and you can see these characteristics. So what do you have to do if you do have a Vata type menstrual pattern? Then importantly, with your food, always try and focus on having more warm food and fresh food. I've seen that, you know, those women who are of very Vata nature and they have Vata type menstruation, dry skin, irregular menstruation, menstrual cramps, and they go on these raw food diet and they have lots of salads. There's absolutely nothing wrong in having raw food or salads, but if you are a Vata type person, then that you won't have enough resources, gastrointestinal juices and enzymes to digest these tough raw foods or salads. So what Ayurveda says is, it's always good from the time that you recognize that you may have Vata type menstrual pattern, particularly during perimenopause and menopause, to have warm and fresh food, which are the opposites of the qualities of Vata. Vata is dry and cold. So you want warm and fresh food, moist foods. And also to have whole carbohydrates. Or what I mean is, you know, not simple carbohydrates, complex carbohydrates, using whole grains or whole cereals, and to cook them. And this can be quite helpful. To have more of sweet fruits rather than sour fruits. To have whole grains like brown rice. To have amaranth, to have quinoa, to have buckwheat, if you are not gluten intolerant. Obviously, if you're gluten intolerant, you would have to choose more of non-gluten or gluten-free grains. And also for a Vata type woman, nuts and seeds can be excellent, because nuts and seeds, they are full of these essential fatty acids, small chain and medium chain, and they can be really helpful in relieving the dryness of Vata. When it comes to activities for a Vata woman, rest and relaxation is the key. If you are having a Vata type menstruation and then you are constantly busy, you are very active, you are doing too many activities, you are doing Zumba, Pilates and jogging and dance, then it is not going to be very helpful. So rest and relaxation, regularity in exercise, but mostly moderate exercising, not intense and over-exercising. Like, for instance, walking can be an excellent exercise for a Vata woman. And deep breathing. Because Vata women, they try not to breathe very deeply. They inhale probably a little bit deeply, but then they don't exhale completely. So to focus on your inhalation and lengthen your exhalation, and there is absolutely no need to emphasize that for a Vata person, meditation can be very useful. Any form of, you know, relaxation can be very useful. So if you start to incorporate these lifestyle and food and mental activities from early on, you can prevent the horrible symptoms that one might experience during perimenopause and menopause. And a Pitta woman, or a woman with a Pitta type menstruation or menstrual pattern, what should she be having for food? What should her nutrition be? Her food should predominantly have green leafy vegetables, because these green leafy vegetables, they help with the bitters, better detoxification of the liver. In a Pitta woman, detoxification may be compromised. She may be prone to inflammation due to compromised detoxification pathways. And in a Pitta woman, unlike a Vata woman, a Pitta woman can have salads because their digestion is good. Their digestive juices are abundant, and they have good amounts of enzymes. So green leafy vegetables and salads. Unlike Vata women, a Pitta woman should also have more sweet fruits rather than sour fruits. And a Pitta woman, again, like Vata women, must go for whole grains, not simple carbohydrates or refined carbohydrates. In fact, refined carbohydrates does not help any type of woman, whether Vata, Pitta or Kapha. And a Pitta woman must pay attention to avoiding acidic foods, or foods which cause not only acidity, but which can cause systemic acidity. So there are certain acidic foods, like nightshades, for instance, they are all acidic, like aubergines potatoes, tomatoes. These, I'm not saying that you can't have them, but it's good to reduce the quantities of them. And what should be the lifestyle or activities of a Pitta woman is to practice moderate physical exercise. They absolutely have good stamina and strength for exercise, therefore to practice moderate physical exercise. And a good exercise for a Pitta woman would be swimming, because it's cooling. Pitta is fire and water, and usually the fire component tends to be higher. So in a Pitta woman, if you use foods which are cooling activities which are cooling and relaxing, and exercise, you know, like swimming, which is an active exercise, wholesome exercise, and is also cooling, will be good for a Pitta woman. And of course, yoga and meditation will be very good, as Pitta women tend to be more analytical and critical, and in order to bring that calmness. So what about a Kapha woman? Somebody with a Kapha constitution, or someone's menstruation which has more of a Kapha pattern. In a Kapha woman, again, the food should be warm, and particularly because the digestion tends to be slow, the metabolism tends to be slow, and with perimenopause and menopause, metabolism becomes even slower. Therefore, to have warm soups, liquidy warm foods with good amount of spices can be excellent in providing that lightness and sharpness and relieving the coldness and heaviness and denseness of Kapha. And it's very important, particularly for Kapha type women, to avoid fried foods, because they are rich in fats, rich in oils, and that may not be very suited to a Kapha type woman. And like Vata and Pitta woman, a Kapha woman should also be using whole grains and not simple carbohydrates. And in general, for a Kapha woman, it's important to eat moderately, not to overeat, to avoid even very rich, heavy, dense, creamy foods. And in a Kapha woman, they would benefit from taking active physical exercise. Generally, if you are a Kapha constitution, then that you may not really naturally be too motivated to do intense exercising. But if you are, let's say, a Vata or a Pitta woman, but with a Kapha type menstrual pattern, then active physical exercise can be very helpful in regulating the hormones. And let's say if you are a Kapha woman with a Kapha type menstruation, exercise is not something that you feel motivated to do naturally, then definitely do brisk walking where your heart rate goes up. And yoga and meditation is a common factor for Kapha, Pitta and Vata women, because during perimenopause and menopause, the drop in progesterone really creates this unnecessary anxiety, a sense of overwhelmed feeling. Therefore, it is important to take some practice like breathing or yogic breathing, pranayama or yoga or mindfulness meditation or yoga nidra or other forms of meditation can be very, very helpful. Whatever the type that you are, Vata, Pitta or Kapha, when it comes to food, it is very important to eat with awareness. Eat fresh food, try and eat organic food during perimenopause and menopause, and eat seasonal food, eat local food, and eat food free from chemical sprays, because these can be estrogen or hormone disruptors, and avoid genetically engineered and processed foods, and reduced canned foods, frozen foods. So if you are somebody who is into the habit of opening the tin and using tomatoes or beans, or freezing food by batch cooking, try and reduce that, because you really want fresh food. And also avoid instant foods and foods which are labeled low fat, because, you know, there is a general worry that during perimenopause and menopause, due to decline in these hormones, testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone, that there can be fat gain or increase in weight. But do not choose low fat or fat-free drinks and foods, because that can also upset the hormones. Use whole fat, but in small quantities, or dilute it with water, but not semi-skimmed. This is something that I always advise women who come and see me for supporting them with perimenopause and menopause. And, you know, menopause is a wonderful time where one can open themselves to the spiritual dimension to life, to kind of think about purpose in life, to establish regular routine, and to get engaged in activities which not only helps you, but the wider community. And there are many nutrients that can help. For instance, vitamin E, tocotrienols, B complex, multivitamin, and zinc, calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, they all become very important. However, if you are choosing any of these vitamins or even herbs like Brahmi, which is an Ayurvedic herb, or ashwagandha, the Thania somnifera, which is so very widely used during perimenopause and menopause by herbalists, Ayurvedic practitioners, and nutritional therapists, or Trifala, always consult a qualified health professional who has experience in it, and then follow their instructions. So, by understanding yourself through Ayurveda, you can make your journey of perimenopause and menopause smooth, and you can sail through it. And in fact, you might find these phases to be very rewarding and satisfying, because when you start understanding your body, you will know how to manage the symptoms that occur naturally during perimenopause and menopause. I hope this episode has inspired you to consider your constitution or your menstrual pattern, and to start to change your food and lifestyle to support your Ayurvedic type. I shall speak with all of you again next week by choosing another topic. Until then, stay well and stay tuned to Are You Well on UK Health Radio. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks. Dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.